Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Some cities in Massachusetts and around the country are working toward the ambitious goal of ending chronic homelessness. They're up against forces that are driving many people who are homeless to the cities to find shelter and ideally housing. But affordable housing is in very short supply. WBUR's Lynn Joliker visited the city of Worcester, which is taking some innovative steps to get people who are homeless into their own places with the support they need in order to remain there.
Walking into these woods in Worcester, high up along I-290 and blanketed in a fresh coat of snow, Evis Terpolari knows exactly who he's looking for.
Hello.
He's been here before.
How's it going?
He's here to see Monty Kelly and Kelly's partner. Kelly comes to the door of the couple's shack.
I need one piece of document signed. Okay.
Terpolari is Homeless Projects Manager for Worcester's Health and Human Services Department. He leads homeless outreach efforts for the city's Quality of Life Task Force. The group works to connect people with housing and support services. Monty Kelly and his partner came to Worcester in August after living in Clinton and Athol.
How long have you been out here in this house in the woods?
Well, this I built in November. This one I had one last year in Athol that somebody tore down with a bulldozer.
Scattered outside the shack are several shopping carts. Kelly used them to haul wood scraps he pulled from dumpsters to build the structure. He even installed a metal pipe in the roof as a chimney for a makeshift wood stove inside. Pieces of the couple's clothing hang from the trees, but they're soaked from the snow. Kelly and his partner are transgender. He says they weren't treated well in towns where they lived before, and now routinely face discrimination when people learn or assume they're homeless.
We're just as much people as everybody else.
He says the Worcester outreach team has been the first ray of hope.
I mean, I think everybody deserves to, you know, have housing and be seen as another human being, you know. I feel like if we just had housing, you know, we could probably live our lives out quietly for as long as anybody let us have housing for, you know what I mean?
Terpolari has come with good news. He's going to present the couple's case to the Worcester City and County Continuum of Care, or COC. COCs are regional planning bodies required by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to work to get people out of homelessness. They're made up of nonprofits and government agencies. Terpolari will tell the COC Kelly and his partner are ready for housing and have the proper documentation.
And what kind of unit do you anticipate them getting? Do you know?
So we're hoping for a single apartment. There's project-based apartments, or there's funding that we can take and work with landlords to secure the appropriate apartment.
The Worcester outreach team also includes some police officers, city inspectors, and a certified recovery coach. Monty Kelly says he's struggled with mental illness and substance use. The team will make sure he's connected with a case manager who will help him stay on top of appointments, budgeting, and other needs.
The part of the outreach and how we work with people is incredibly important.
Dr. Maddie Castile is Worcester's Commissioner of Health and Human Services and a primary care physician. She started in the City Post in 2015, just after Worcester formed its Quality of Life Task Force. When Castile went with the group to street encampments, she was blown away by the need and the team's response.
The things that they do, the recovery coach and the outreach worker, to being able to have that compassion and to work with people, I think you can draw people in.
In the past year, the outreach team has worked with about 250 unsheltered adults. It's housed almost 60, and it's helped more than 80 into detox and addiction treatment programs. It's all part of a plan Worcester launched 2 years ago to end chronic homelessness. But the city already accomplished that once before. In 2011, the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness declared Worcester the first city of its size to effectively end chronic homelessness. Dr. Castile, who was on a homelessness task force in Worcester at the time, says the city then dropped the ball.
After we reached functional zero, it's like it all stopped. We stopped meeting. I think the idea behind this is that this is a constant piece that we have to constantly evaluate the data, see the numbers that are coming in, and adjust to that and figure out what we do.
Part of the new push is data. Worcester is tracking who's using homeless shelters and living on the street in order to have a grasp of the need. And the city has set a goal to create 103 new units of permanent supportive housing for people who've been chronically homeless. To help reach that target, it's planning two modular buildings of micro-units with support services on site. The units would be studio apartments with their own kitchens and bathrooms. They would be built off-site and trucked in. They're expected to cost under $100,000 each to produce. That's less than half of what it costs to develop traditional affordable housing units.
This is something that could fit in on any city block almost.
That's Joe Finn, executive director of the advocacy organization Massachusetts Housing and Shelter Alliance. The group worked with Worcester on the concept and is trying to get other communities to develop the modular micro-housing.
So I'm hoping that, particularly as communities struggle with people living outside, that we can provide a different model where we can actually give folks a place to live.
The Worcester Housing Authority is planning 25 modular micro-units in one building. South Middlesex Opportunity Council plans another 18 units. They're the first to apply for state funding for such projects. If the developments become a reality, they'll give Worcester's Quality of Life Task Force more options to get people from the streets into their own homes. The outreach team's last stop on this day is an encampment along the Blackstone River.
A lot of sleeping bags, a lot of debris and garbage, belongings, but no one here?
Correct, not at this time.
Worcester police officer Angel Rivera says this is state-owned property, but the state isn't kicking people out. That means the team can keep coming back to try to engage with them.
Some of them are receptive to getting treatment for substance use disorder, and some of them are not. Once someone else leaves, someone else comes in, and we try to reach out to them and get them the services that they might need.
On the way out of the site, the team comes across a man walking in the area. Recovery coach Richard Gonzalez recognizes him.
How you doing with your recovery right now?
Oh, I've been clean for a long time.
His name is Eduardo Vasquez. He says he's been sleeping in some sort of metal tank nearby.
But I had to survive, and I cannot let myself die.
Evis Terpolari from the city of Worcester makes plans to meet with Vasquez later in the week.
Eduardo, I'll see you, Thursday.
I will see you Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Thank Gonzalez you. Tries to convince him to go to a shelter to sleep in the meantime.
Come tonight and sleep there for tonight. Just try it. If you don't feel comfortable the next day, it's fine.
Vasquez says he'll think about it. Through years of drug addiction and homelessness, he says he's become very isolated. He stopped seeing his doctors and psychologists. But now he's ready for a change.
I want to have my own place for once, because I'm 43 years old and never have a place in my life. I've been bouncing around from places to places and relationship from relationship, but never have my own.
I think this is the moment. There is help right here, and just engaging, following with your appointments. I know it's hard.
Gonzalez can relate. He's in recovery from a long battle with drug addiction. He and the other team members know breaking through with people living on the streets takes time and patience, but it's all worth it. Monty Kelly and his partner, who were living in the shack in the woods, recently moved into an apartment thanks to the task force's engagement. Kelly says it's been an adjustment, but that he and his partner can now rejoin the regular world and think about the rest of their lives. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.